Well, as the young children are dismissed, I'd just like to say a word of gratitude and express our thanks for all the missionaries for what you've done for us this week already, the Chicago tour trip today, and feeding us and all the gift bag and everything that you gave us on Saturday. We just appreciate that very much. And it's also a blessing to be back home where I grew up, and I've moved on, and I have another place I call home because I live there, but to me this will always be home because of my family and all my friends here that I grew up with, and just this area. So it means a lot to us to be able to come back and be in the missions conference this week. So glad we could be here. I'll share more with you about Labrador on Wednesday when I do my video presentation, and I'll tell you a little more about that. But feel free to come by and talk to us at the table afterwards about our mission field. Take your Bible and turn to John chapter 6, if you would, please. John chapter 6. It's good also to see many people that were my Sunday school teachers when I was young, as I was growing up, Sunday school teachers, Awana leaders. I appreciate each and every one of you and for what you have invested in my life. And it's because of you and your ministry here in this church that has made me what I am today. And I just want to say I greatly appreciate you and thank you, or thank you for what you've done. Thank the Lord for using you in my life to help me become what I am today. John chapter 6, and let's start in verse 5. It says, "When Jesus then lifted up his eyes and saw a great company come unto him, he saith unto Philip, Whence shall we buy bread that these may eat? And this he said to prove him, for he himself knew what he would do. Philip answered him, 200 pennyworth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may take a little. One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, saith unto him, There is a lad here which hath 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes, but what are they among so many? And Jesus said, Make the men sit down. Now there was much grass in the place, so the men sat down in number about 5,000. And Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed to the disciples, and the disciples to them that were set down, and likewise of the fishes as much as they would. And when they were filled, he said unto his disciples, Gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost. Therefore they gathered them together and filled 12 baskets with the fragments of the 5 barley loaves, which remained over and above unto them that had eaten." Let's have a word of prayer as we get started this evening. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for everything that you've done for us, for dying on the cross, giving us eternal life. I pray that as we look at your word this evening, I pray that you speak to our hearts, challenge us regarding the needs of the world, challenge our faith, help us to grow in our faith and our dependence upon you. And we thank you for what you're going to do. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, this event of the feeding of the 5,000 is recorded for us in all 4 of the Gospels, and I'm going to jump in between all 4 of them a little bit to glean various details of the situation here. You don't have to turn to the other ones if you don't want to. But during this event that we call the feeding of the 5,000, Christ is using this to teach his disciples a lesson in faith. He's teaching them that he is sufficient to meet any need they will ever face. He's teaching them and taking them through several steps in this process of teaching them to depend upon him to fulfill the needs. The first thing we see here is Christ makes his disciples responsible for the need. He makes his disciples responsible for the need. Look at verse 5. Jesus then lifted up his eyes, saw a great company come unto him. He saith unto Philip, Whence shall we buy bread that these may eat? And this he said to prove him, for he himself knew what he would do. He's giving the disciples some responsibility here. He's sharing this need with them. Over in the book of Matthew chapter 14, it says that Jesus went forth, saw a great multitude, and was moved with compassion toward them, and he healed their sick, and he preached about the kingdom of God to them. So let's get the big picture here. Jesus and his disciples have been ministering for some time. They're going out to a desert place to take a break on the side of a mountain outside of a town called Bethsaida. And the people found out where Christ is going, so they follow him. They want to hear his preaching. They want to see him heal the sick. They want to know more about this Jesus. So there's this great multitude of people gathered together on this mountainside, listening to Jesus preach. He's healing the sick. And the Bible tells us there's about 5,000 men here. That doesn't include women and children. We could assume there's probably upwards of 15,000 people at least, including women and children here. Huge multitude gathered to hear Christ preach. And the Bible tells us Christ was moved with compassion towards them. He sees their physical needs, yes, but He also, more importantly, He sees their spiritual needs. So Christ sees the needs. Then He shares the need with His disciples. In the book of Luke, it tells us that the disciples come at the end of the day. Jesus has been teaching all day. This afternoon, it's starting to get dark out. The disciples come to Jesus. They say, "Send away the multitude. They can go into the towns around here and get food. We're here in a desert place. There's no food here." But Jesus says to His disciples, "Give ye them to eat." He shares the need with them. He says, "Hey, there's a need. These people are hungry, and I want you to do something about it." He shares the need with His disciples. This is not the only time, by the way, that Christ shares the needs that He sees with His disciples. In John 4:35, Christ says, "Lift up your eyes and look upon the fields, for they are white already unto harvest." Later on, He gives the disciples the greatest responsibility that a man could ever receive. "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Son and of the Father and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you." He says, "But ye shall receive power, and after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth." He shares the need that He sees with His disciples. Then Christ seeks a response to the need. Look at verse 6 again. Actually, the end of verse 5. He says to Philip, "Where can we buy bread so that these people can eat?" Verse 6, "And this He said to prove him, to test him, for He Himself knew what He would do." Obviously, Christ being God, He knows what He's going to do, but He is testing Philip. He's trying to prove him. He's seeking a response to that need. And then He's holding them responsible for that need. Over in the book of Matthew, the disciples say, "Let them go." Jesus says to them, "They need not depart. Give ye them to eat." He gives them personal responsibility to help take care of the needs. They were supposed to do what they could do and trust God to take care of the rest. And that's what Christ is trying to teach them here. Christ is opening the disciples' eyes to the needs of the people that are around them. He shares the needs with them. He makes them personally responsible for the needs. Now, the Lord also is holding you and I personally responsible for the needs of the world, for the needs for spreading the gospel around the world. There are over 7.1 billion people alive on the earth tonight. It's hard to imagine that many people. 7.1 billion people, and approximately two-thirds of those people have never heard the gospel. They've never heard how they can trust Jesus Christ and be saved. There's approximately 7,100 languages in the world, and about over 4,000 of those languages don't even have a verse of Scripture in their own language. The needs are great. I was looking up some statistics today, and I don't like to share statistics normally, but 130,000 people died today. All right? That's like Bolingbrook and Downers Grove combined. Every single day, just like that. 300,000 people were born today. Think about those. Think about those facts. All right? Those 130,000 people, how many of them heard the gospel and had an opportunity to accept Jesus Christ as their Savior? Those 300,000 that are being born every day, who is going to tell them about the gospel? The needs of this world are great. And also, the majority of missionaries today are older. Many are passing away. Many are retiring due to health issues. They're not able to stay on the fields. And there's not even enough younger missionaries going to replace the older ones that are coming off the field, much less reach more of the world. The needs are great. Christ teaches His disciples that they are responsible for the needs that they see around them. Secondly, Jesus Christ makes His disciples realize their lack of resources. He makes them realize their lack of resources. We read verse 6 already. Verse 7, Philip says to Him, 200 penny worth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may take a little. Christ says, Philip, where can we get food to feed all of these hungry people? Philip replies and he says, if we had 200 penny worth of bread, right? Now that was almost an entire year's worth of wages. He's saying if we had an entire year's worth of wages, if we had that much money, we could go buy that much bread. That wouldn't be sufficient to feed this huge crowd. It's not enough to meet the needs. Now, Philip, by the way, was from the nearby town of Bethsaida, so he would have known the limited resources in that area. So it's interesting that Christ asks him, Philip, you're from this area. You know what the resources are like. Where can we get bread? And he's testing the faith of Philip. Andrew, another disciple, in verse 8, he comes to Christ and he says, there's a lad here in verse 9 which has 5 loaves of bread, 2 small fishes, but what are they among so many? It's a lack of faith, and we'll talk about that more in a second. But Christ is causing his disciples to realize their lack of resources, realize they cannot fulfill this need on their own. And humanly speaking, they had no way of providing for this need. But as we're seeing in a moment, we cannot use a lack of resources as an excuse to do nothing about the needs that we see. So Christ is making his disciples responsible for the need. Then he makes them realize their lack of resources. Then Christ takes them another step farther in this lesson of faith. Many people give up in discouragement when they realize how big the needs are, when they realize how limited their resources are. But Christ has more to teach them. Now Christ teaches his disciples to respond with what they do have. Teaches them to respond with what they had. We see 3 responses from the disciples here. We see a response of the little boy, and we see the response of Christ. The first response of the disciples, is relinquishment of responsibility. They try to get out of fulfilling the need. Over in the book of Mark, chapter 6, verse 35, his disciples come to Jesus and they say, this is a desert place, the time is now past. In other words, it's late in the day. Send them away that they may go into the country round about them and into the villages and buy themselves bread, for they have nothing to eat. He's saying, let them take care of their own needs. Let them go buy bread for themselves. Let them go and do whatever they want to do. We're not responsible for that need. They can take care of it. They did not realize that God could use them to help meet that need. They relinquished their responsibility. Then we see another response. We see reliance upon self. In verse 37, Jesus answers and says to his disciples, give ye them to eat. He says, hey, this is your personal responsibility. You give them something to eat. You do something about these needs. And Philip says, there's no way we can provide for this need. We're limited in our resources. This need is so great. What we have is so small. We can't do it. And they were depending upon themselves instead of depending upon God to take care of the need. And their lack of faith, their self-centeredness, they're limiting God to doing only what man can do instead of what God could do through them. So we have relinquishment of responsibility. We have reliance on self. Then we have reliance upon circumstances. Look back in John 6, verse 8. One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, saith unto him, there is a lad here which hath five barley loaves and 2 small fishes, but what are they among so many? He says, we have a little something here, and it's a little, and someone's offered it to us, but what good is it going to do? The need is so great. This little resource is so small. It's not going to do any good. And they're relying on their circumstances. This is a lack of faith. The disciples are walking by sight instead of walking by faith. They say, we don't have enough resources in our hands in front of us. We can't see how you're going to meet this need, so why even bother? What is this among so many? Reliance upon circumstances. They give up. They've seen Christ do great things in the past, but they were not trusting God to do great things in this situation as well. Now, most of us tend to respond to the great needs of the world in one of those 3 ways. We either relinquish our responsibility. We say, Lord, I don't have time to go tell my neighbor about Jesus. I don't have time to give them a tract. We say, Lord, I know that you want me to share my testimony with my coworker, but I'm too busy. I can't do it. We relinquish our responsibility. Or perhaps, Lord, I know You've called me to go to another country to preach the gospel. I know You've called me to be a pastor, but I don't want to do that. I don't think you know what You're doing. We relinquish our personal responsibility to reach the world with the gospel. Oftentimes, we rely upon ourselves. We say, you know what, Lord? I don't have enough money to support missionaries. I can't give to Faith Promise to help send missionaries around the world. We depend on what we have or what we can do humanly in our own strength. And we limit God to doing only what we can do instead of allowing Him to work through us. Or sometimes we rely on our circumstances. We say, God, our bank account's too small. I've got all these bills. It's too expensive. I can't help in any way. I can't go. We give up. We don't trust God to provide. Those are most often our responses when we see the needs of the world. When we see a country that has no missionaries, we say, oh, someone else can go there. Someone else can learn that difficult language. Someone else can translate the Bible for them. Someone else can do it. It's not my job. Too often that is our response. So we have those three responses of the disciples: relinquishing responsibility, relying upon themselves, relying upon circumstances. Then we have the response of the little boy. And this is a response of faith. Look at verse 9. There is a lad here which hath five barley loaves and two small fishes. The boy comes to the disciples and says, here, take my lunch. I know this isn't much, and I know it won't go very far. It won't feed very many people, but I want you to use it however you see fit. And this boy, with his generous heart, put to shame the disciples who said, there's no way we can do this. It's not enough. We can't do it. But this little boy brings it to Jesus and says, here, do with it what you want. Now, this boy could have kept his lunch to himself. I know that when I was younger, I didn't tend to share my food with people when I was hungry. Right? I used to eat it, and I would hoard it. Right? And that's how most little boys are, taking care of their own stomach instead of looking out for someone else's needs. Now, if this boy had been more generous than most, he could have gone up to a friend of his and said, here, share my lunch with me. And it would have helped him and his friend, but it wouldn't have helped anybody else. It wouldn't have met the need. But this little boy in faith comes to Jesus, who probably he has never seen do a great miracle like this, and he says, here, take it, use it for what you want to use it for. Now, I can't help but wonder, how many other people in that crowd had a lunch, but they were not willing to offer it. I can't help but wonder that. So we have the response of the little boy. This should be our response to the needs of the world. We should come to God and say, I'm willingly going to give some extra time to witness to my neighbor. I know I'm busy, but I'm going to go across the street, talk to them for a few moments, give them a tract, share my testimony with them. We can say, Lord, I know I have bills to pay, and I know my income is limited, but the needs around the world are great, so I'm going to give to Faith Promise to help support missionaries to go to those countries. We can say, Lord, I know I don't have much to offer, but here's my life. Take me, use me in whatever way you see fit. That should be our response. When we loosen our tight-fisted grasp on the things that God has given us, our life, our resources, our time, if we loosen our grasp upon those things, God can do great things with those. He can do so much more with those than we could ever think that would be possible. The Bible also says, moreover, it is required in a steward that a man be found faithful. God has given us things. God has given us life. He's given us finances, perhaps. He's given us health. He's given us time. He's given us all these things to be stewards of, to manage them properly for Him. Are we managing those things in the right way, in view of the great needs of the world? Are we responding in faith, or are we hoarding those things, keeping them to ourselves? So we have the response of faith of the little boy, willingly offering the little bit that he had to Christ. Then last, we have the response of Christ. Look at verse 10. And Jesus said, make the men sit down. Now there was much grass in the place, so the men sat down, in number about 5,000. And Jesus took the loaves, and when He had given thanks, He distributed to the disciples, and the disciples to them that were set down, and likewise of the fishes, as much as they would. Christ says, I can use that which is willingly offered to me. I can use it, even though it's small, I can multiply it to do great things, to meet the need. He says the problem is already taken care of. The need's already met. I can do this because I'm God. I have the power to do these things. And Christ is using this situation to teach His disciples that no matter how big the needs are, no matter how small the resource is, if they depend on Him to do the work, but they still do what they can do, then He's going to do great things. Christ let the disciples distribute the bread. They still had to do their part. They couldn't just sit back and let Christ pass it all out. Christ gave them the responsibility of handling the bread of life. And God has given us that same responsibility. As Christians, whether in full-time ministry or not, we have the responsibility of taking the bread of life to those that are around us. We have the great privilege of bearing the bread of life to this world that's lost and dying around us. What are you doing with the bread? Are you sharing it or are you hoarding it for yourself? What are you doing with the bread of life? We have responsibility. We're accountable for how we handle the bread of life. So Christ teaches His disciples to respond with what they had. They responded by saying, oh, let them take care of themselves. They try to relinquish the responsibility God's given them. They responded by relying upon themselves. We can't do this. We don't have the resources. They relied on their circumstances. It's little, but it's not going to do any good among these great needs. The boy responds in faith. And that needs to be our response. So Christ teaches them, no matter how little they have, you still have to do your part. You still have to willingly offer that little bit that you have back to the Lord. And then last, Christ teaches His disciples to rely upon Him to take care of the needs. To rely upon Him to take care of the needs. And Christ demonstrates His power. Over in Luke 9, He takes the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes, and looking up to heaven, He blessed them and broke and gave to the disciples to set before the multitude. Only God has the power to take bread and fish and multiply it to feed a multitude. There's no sleight of hand here. There's no magic show here, but this is the almighty power of an all-sufficient God meeting a need because of a little boy's faith, trying to teach His disciples a lesson. Only God could take 5 loaves and 2 fishes and make enough fish sandwiches to feed a whole crowd. Only God can do that. No man could do that. Notice the end of verse 11 back in John 6. It says, as much as they would. He did not make just enough food for everyone to have a little taste, just a bite. He gave them enough to eat their fill. Look at verse 12. When they were filled, He said unto His disciples, gather up that which remains. He provided enough food for everyone to eat as much as they needed. He fulfilled all of their needs. No one went away hungry. Now let's read verse 12 again. When they were filled, He said unto His disciples, gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost. Therefore they gathered them together and filled 12 baskets with the fragments of the 5 barley loaves, which remained over and above unto them that had eaten. Not only did Christ provide for the need, but He provided in abundance. He provided more than what was necessary to meet the needs. And the disciples gathered together 12 baskets of the leftovers, and they saved the extra food. They did not waste what God had provided. They didn't just throw it to the birds or leave it on the ground there for the animals to eat it. They gathered it together. They were being wise in what they were doing with the resources God had provided. Now, the Bible doesn't tell us what they did with that leftover food, but I'm sure they used it to meet someone else's needs or perhaps their own needs later on as they traveled. But Christ is demonstrating to His disciples that He's powerful enough to take something that is small, something that is insignificant in their eyes, and multiply it to meet the needs of the entire crowd. And Christ is using this to challenge the faith of the disciples. When we realize what the needs are, when we respond in faith, relying upon God to do what we cannot do, He will do great things through us. When there's many bills, when there's more month left when you get to the end of the money, but you still are faithful in the commitment you've made to God to give, He will provide for the needs. He'll provide for the bills. And He'll use that in your life to strengthen your faith. And if Christ can do such an impossible miracle, humanly speaking, as feeding 15,000 people with 5 little loaves and 2 little fishes, what do you think He can do with a life that is given to Him to help meet the needs of the world? What do you think He can do with a testimony that you share with your coworker, with your neighbor? What do you think He can do with those resources that we surrender to Him? We have to depend upon Him, but we must do our part to help meet the needs of the world. Now, even if we look at this enormous problem of lack of missionaries, of so many billions of people in this world, Christ has given us the solution. He's called people to go. I believe that God has called someone to go to every country in the world. But there's people that refuse that calling. They resist the calling of God on their life. And consequently, that country doesn't have the gospel yet. And God will have to raise up someone else to go, because whoever He had called to go to that country is resisting the call of God. God has told people to, even if you can't go, even if I've not called you to go to another country, He's called people to help those that are going to get there. Many people are lacking in faith to give. Christ has provided for the need. He's provided the resources. He's given us the resources, but we must offer them back to Him so that He can use them through us. We have to get out of the boat. We have to walk on the water by faith and allow God to do the part that we cannot do. So we have to understand, we are responsible for the needs of the world. We are responsible, personally responsible, for the needs of the world. We must recognize our lack of resources, and most of us, when we look at our bank account, we recognize that very readily. But we must respond with what we do have, what God has given us, to help meet the need, and then rely upon God to do the rest, to take care of the needs. Let's pray.